The following is a seminar entitled Tune In, Tune On, and Bliss Out, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on December 10th, 2012, at the University of Mauritius, Mauritius.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghuna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vidamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So, coming today to your campus reminds me of when I was also a university student. I was attending the University of Texas, which is the largest university in the U.S. And there in the center of the campus is one building called the Tower Building. It's very famous. When somebody got up on the tower and with a high-powered rifle and they shot many people dead, so it became famous. They made a movie of it, The Tower Sniper. Many people were shot dead on the campus that day. So anyway, the Tower Building is a very famous building. And there was some very nice words actually printed on the building. It says, "Know you the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It's very nice. Know ye the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But if you ask any of the professors, what is that truth that will set me free? Nobody can say, you see. So, I have come today to give that knowledge that will set one's free, you see. Because that's what's supposed to be available at the university. A university is supposed to be a place where you can get education that will liberate you. That is the real meaning of education, is it? What is the highest level degree at the university? PhD. What does it stand for? Doctor of Philosophy. Is it? So, the original universities, they all taught philosophy. That was the subject matter. What is the purpose of life? The basic, most basic questions they were being taught. So now they still have PhD degrees, but how much knowledge is actually being given? Philosophical knowledge is being given, you see. The philosophy departments are very, very, not very popular. Computer science is very popular, you see. But how popular are the philosophy departments? But actually the PhD title is still there. Because originally everyone studied philosophy. Philosophy means to analyze, why do I exist? What is the purpose of my life, you see? When I was a freshman in college, that was my question. What is the purpose? What is the purpose of my life? I wanted to know. I was studying hard, making good grades. We have what was called the dean's list for the top students. I was on the dean's list regularly, one of the top students. But I wanted to know, why do I exist? In what course will they teach me why I exist? That's it. So this understanding is very important understanding. And today's subject matter, tune in, turn on, and bliss out in meditation, is a practical technique how to actually understand why I exist. This should be taught in every university. This should be the basic training, you see. This is my frustration as a college student. If I don't know why I exist, then why should I? They said, what do you want to major in, boy? Want to major in chemistry, biology, psychology, physical education, what do you want your degree in? Now that didn't make any sense to me. I don't even know who I am yet. They want me to pick a major. I don't even know who I am, why I exist. If I know why I exist, then I can easily decide whether I want to go into chemistry or biology or psychology or violin playing or whatever they teach, I can easily decide what I want to major in if I just tell me who I am. Then I can easily understand what to do. But they couldn't tell me. And all this, I took psychology, I took biology, I took philosophy, I took Spanish, I took English, I took physical education, I took voice training, I sang in the choir. I mean, I did everything. I was in a fraternity. I did everything, but nowhere could anybody tell me, why do I exist? So the whole thing was empty. Why should I work so hard to make these good grades, to get a good job, you see, so I get a good wife, you get a good house, get some good kids, a nice car, and get a nice grave, a nice coffin at the end? It just didn't make sense. Why should I work so hard just without even knowing why I'm here? Didn't you see? So I was fortunate that I did actually find a professor. The professor's name was A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. I finally found a professor who could actually enlighten me, you see, as to why I exist, who I am, you see. That's all we really need, is one good professor, you see, can really set us straight. So I finally was fortunate I found one professor, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And he made it, once I took training from him, Then everything became very wonderful. My whole life turned around, and I could do anything I wanted to do because I understood the underlying meaning and purpose of existence. And once you understand who you are, you can do anything and be happy. You can be a soldier, you can be a politician, you can be an artist, you can be a musician, a businessman, a computer scientist. Once you actually understand who you are, you can go into any field and be successful and be happy, because you know the ultimate purpose of why you're existing here on this planet, you see. So that basic existential knowledge is a very, very important thing. Some people say, well, actually, there is no meaning to existence. You just have to pretend that it has a meaning so you can somehow get by. But that doesn't make any sense. If life was truly meaningless, then why would I have to pretend it has a meaning? Why would I feel a need for a meaning, you see? I felt as a college freshman, you see, I felt a very, very strong need to know the meaning of my existence. Some people said there is no meaning. Then why do I feel that desire? You see, where does that desire for meaning come from if life has no meaning? Just like if we go without water for some time, we get thirsty, you see. So the thirst for water that we all have, and that reminds me, I could use a little drink now. The thirst for water that we all have reminds us, is there because water exists. So the fact that we all have a thirst to know the meaning of our existence indicates that life does indeed have a meaning, you see. If life was truly meaningless, as certain philosophers say, then we wouldn't have any desire to know what is the meaning of our existence. The fact that we have that desire within us to know the meaning of our existence indicates that there is some meaning. So that brings us back to tune in, turn on, and bliss out in meditation. Because through the art of meditation, you can actually connect with your true nature, you see. Can actually connect with your true identity, your eternal identity, and become fully satisfied in knowing who you are and why you exist and what is the meaning of life. So this is not something religious. It's not something sectarian or dogmatic. This is something which is universal for all living beings. That is transcendental. In other words, right now we are existing on a certain dimension of reality, you see. But there are higher dimensions beyond our present perception. Just like, for example, can any of you see ultraviolet rays? No, we cannot see ultraviolet rays. But with the proper instrument, we can detect the presence of ultraviolet rays. And there are many, many things which exist. See, science invented a device to read the ultraviolet rays. But science has a long way to go yet. There are many things out there that science doesn't even know about. They don't have the instruments to see them or perceive them yet. So my point is, right now we are living in a very limited spectrum of perception, a very limited spectrum of consciousness. There are higher dimensional states of consciousness which you can actually personally experience them. There's a higher dimensional reality which is not perceivable to our present gross senses. But through the art of meditation, you can expand your consciousness beyond the present gross level in which we perceive things in a very, very narrow way. You can expand your consciousness. So you say, well, how do I know it really works? Well, all I can say is try it. You may say, well, it sounds like a bunch of hype to me. But the fact is that by meditation, you can actually achieve higher levels of perception. Just like by working out in the gym, you can become more strong. Through meditation, you can strengthen your consciousness. You can expand your muscles by doing push-ups, isn't it? Similarly, by exercising in the art of transcendental meditation, you can expand your consciousness. Just like you can expand your muscles, you can expand your consciousness. So what is that art of meditation? We say, tune in. What are you tuning into? This photograph was taken right here in Solferino, actually. I don't know. A little aside there. I was meditating out there in the nature, Solferino. But what are you tuning into? What is that higher state that you're connecting with? See, now, this is not some sectarian thing, but in every scripture of the world, there is some concept of a higher being, whether you say Allah, these are all legitimate names. Whether you say Allah, or you say Yahweh, or you say Krishna, or Buddha. See, this idea of a supreme is a universal principle. It's not a sectarian thing. There is a universal, through all the scriptures of the world and all the great philosophers, we see there is a common idea of a supreme consciousness. So actually, tuning in means to tune into that supreme consciousness. So if you're a Muslim, you can tune into Allah. If you're a Krishnaite, you can tune into Krishna. If you're a Christian, you can tune into Jesus or the Heavenly Father of Jesus. If you're a Buddhist, you can tune into Buddha. There is a supreme. Now the atheist would say there is no supreme. But what does that mean? There's no supreme. The atheists say there is no supreme being. This is simply dogma from the religious people. There is no supreme being. But actually, that's not a very logical or a scientific argument, because what does it mean? That means everybody's on the same level, you see. Supreme means one who has that being who has more power, more beauty, more knowledge, more renunciation, more wealth, more fame than anyone else. That's supreme. You see. The supreme being has more wealth than anyone else. So they say there is no supreme being. That means we all have the same amount of wealth. That means we all have the same amount of money in the bank account. A wealthy businessman, you know, has the same amount of money as a poor college student. Is that true? A poor college student has the same amount of money in his bank account as a wealthy billionaire? No. Everybody has a different amount of money in their bank account. So somewhere there's somebody who has more money, you see. And that actually the supreme being. So the atheism means we all have the same amount of money, the same amount of power, same amount of beauty. Everybody's equally good looking or equally ugly. How are you going to look at it? You see? Well, it's not true. Some people like me are very ugly. And some people are very good looking, you see. Just like my wife is very good looking. You see? So we all have different levels of beauty, of power, of knowledge. Can we say all the students here at the university have the same amount of knowledge? No. Some make straight A's, some are just barely, some flunk out. You see? You can't say everybody has the same amount of knowledge. Even amongst the professors, some professors are very, very advanced, and some are just, you know, they're getting by. It's a fact. Different people have different levels of knowledge, you see. So somewhere there's somebody who is not knowledgeable, that's the supreme being. So there, logically, we have to understand somewhere within existence there is a supreme being. And that supreme being can be, we can call him Allah, or we can call him Krishna, or Jehovah, or Buddha, you see. It's not some sectarian, dogmatic, religious organization sort of a thing. This is a universal scientific principle. That somewhere there is a supreme being. And that supreme being is actually the source of everything. The supreme source of all existence is that supreme being. That's, or you can say, the supreme consciousness. The supreme conscious being. So meditation, real meditation, by those who actually know what meditation means you dovetail your individual consciousness with that Supreme Consciousness. That's what you do. Now, most people today say, well, you know, silent meditation is really where it's at. You just sit there and, you know, you just sit there and go into silence. But then what do you end up doing? Sleep chanting the Z mantra, you see. The real meaning of meditation, and in this, especially in this age, all the different scriptures of the world, all the greatest meditation teachers recommend the utilization of what is known as mantra. Mantra is a Sanskrit word, which means a sound vibration which delivers the mind. That is called mantra. Ma means mind and tra means deliver. If you're a Christian, you can meditate on the holy name Christ, you see. There is a prayer, a mantra chanted by Christian monks. May Lord Jesus Christ have mercy on me. A Muslim can chant Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, you see. A Krishnite can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the principle is the same. It's a universal science that one, by chanting a sacred sound vibration, a name of the Supreme Being, according to your own scripture, you see, you can meditate by repeating the name again and again and again. That's called mantra. You repeat it. It's like a wheel. You just keep the mantra wheel going, you see. You can just chant it. This is what monastics do in every tradition. Buddhist monks, Christian monks, Muslim ascetics, you see. This is what is done in every single tradition. To meditate on the holy name of the Supreme. And by this art of meditating on the name of the Supreme, one actually is associating directly with the Supreme. See, this is the difference between the Supreme and you and me. If someone says, you know, John Smith, is John Smith present? Well, he could be, but he may not be, you see. But if you utter the name of the Supreme, whether you say Allah or Krishna or Jehovah, if you utter the name of the Supreme, because the Supreme has unlimited mystic potencies, the Supreme is fully present when you utter the name of the Supreme. So actually, by meditation, you are directly associating with the Supreme Powerhouse, which is empowering the entire existence. You're directly associating with the Supreme Powerhouse, which is the engineer of the powerhouse, actually, that's empowering the entire existence. And it's powerful. If you actually do this under the guidance of a qualified professor, in Sanskrit we call that guru, you see. In the modern day of the world, they call that professor. It's the same principle, a qualified teacher. So if you'll actually practice this art of meditation, tuning in, turning on, and blissing out, you see, if you'll actually do it under the guidance of a qualified teacher who knows the art, who can train you and help you become fixed in the art, you see, then you can actually master it. And this is very important. Just like when I was a kid, they got me to play the violin, you know. So I had my violin lessons. I would go up with my violin teacher. Later on, I graduated to the guitar, but, you know, same principle. And then I became a guitar teacher also at one point. So to learn anything actually well, you have a tutor, a teacher who can train you how to do it. That's the way to become good at anything, have a teacher. So that principle is a universal principle. Within every tradition, there are those who are advanced in the meditational art and those who are learned from those who are advanced in the meditational art. So this process of actually, you know, regularly chanting or vibrating or murmuring the names of God, Allah or Jehovah or Christ or Buddha or Krishna, if you do this on a regular daily basis, especially in the early morning before sunrise, when the time is very conducive for spiritual awakening, if you will do this every day, it's a regular practice. It's like you eat every day, you feed your body, but this feeds the soul, the spiritual being within, who survives the demise of the body. If you will feed that spiritual being every day by chanting the names of God, the names of the Supreme, according to your own religion, you see. If you will do this every day, and I guarantee you, you're going to be in for the most amazing experience of your entire life. I guarantee you. It will far exceed anything else you could have gotten by taking a vacation trip to the Grand Canyon or to the Big Ben in London, or anything you could ever experience in this world. It will be millions and billions of times more amazing than that. I guarantee you right now. So we encourage everybody to try to regularly chant the names of the Supreme according to your own religion. If you don't have any names, then you can chant any of them. It's like we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We find it very effective. But we never say it's the only names. Our scriptures don't say that. Our scriptures say there are hundreds and millions of names for the Supreme. You see. So I do have a... Is it written on the board? Yeah. If you can write it down in your notebooks, www.joincourse. Back to home, the same one, yeah. Either one works. So you can, if you want to learn this art of meditation, I'll be your professor if you want. And there's no charge. You can email me, you can tell me how you're progressing, I'll guide you along the path. Backtohome.com will get you signed up for my regular daily broadcast called Thought for the Day. So you can actually be tuned in to this process on a regular daily basis. So I can ask now if there's any questions. We end at 1 o'clock, is it? Yes. You have a question? Any questions, you can write them down. There's some questions already here. Oh, great. Okay. There's a school of thought that believes that the earth will vibrate at a higher frequency as from the 21st December and thereby enter a higher dimension. Really? I'm ready. I'm trying to... Why do we have to wait till the 21st of December? Why don't we do it right now? We can all chant together right now. And you know, but I don't know if the university allows them to... Maybe we're not allowed to vibrate a higher dimension here on the campus. But I'm doing it. I'm already vibrating at a higher frequency. And anybody who wants to join my course, we will all vibrate at a higher frequency together for bringing a higher dimension. And we don't have to wait till the 21st December. We can do it today. Okay. The Maha Mantra is longer than the mantra for Allah Akbar and Jesus in short. Will all of them have the same spiritual realization? Actually, it depends on the purity of your utterance. It really depends on them. The length of the mantra is not the thing, it's the purity of your utterance. If you're chanting the name of God for your own material benefit, my Lord, it's in the finals now, my Lord. Allah, 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 Allah. I'm going for my final. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Krishna, 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 Krishna. You see, it's all for material purpose. But the perfection of chanting is to simply, whatever, surrender to the will of the Supreme as a humble servant of the Supreme. And if you're in that mood, it doesn't matter whether you're chanting Allah or Krishna or Christ, you'll become a perfect saint. The mood of giving to the Supreme, not taking from the Supreme. You see? That's the key. You have to be in the mood of giving everything to the Supreme and not taking anything from the Supreme. When you get into that mood of pure giving in your relationship with the Supreme, then you get everything. But as long as you're in the mood of taking from the Supreme, you're cheating yourself. It's like going to a multi-billionaire. He says, can I help you out? Yeah, can you give me some bus fare to get home today? I mean, would that be a smart thing to do? You go to a multi-billionaire and you ask for some bus fare to get home? I mean, why not ask for a few million dollars at least? You know what I mean? So if you approach the Supreme and you say, please help me make some good grades on my exam, it's like asking for bus fare from a multi-billionaire. It's not very intelligent. What happens to one who ignores the Supreme? Will one's soul be transferred to the kingdom of an animal? Will he be downgraded? Well, you get what you want, really. The according to the laws of karma, you get exactly what you want. Just like I give a seminar. I'm going now from here to South Africa, and then I'm going to Sydney, Australia, to give a seminar on how to achieve pure devotion, the state of pure devotion. And the place I'm giving it is called Govinda Valley, and on the way there, there's a big cliff overlooking the ocean. It's a very popular spot for the hang gliders. They get these wings, and they jump off the cliff, and they fly around like birds. Now I ask you, what will they be in their next life? Because that's what they just, all week long they're waiting. When will I get out and fly like a bird again, you see? Slaving it out at the office, you know, their job, the traffic and all that, and they're just thinking, oh, I can't wait to get out there to the cliff and fly around like a bird again, you see? So what will they be in their next life? It's obvious. They're hankering to be able to fly like a bird. So you get whatever you're hankering for, you see. You get a suitable body. Some people like scuba diving. But you have to go through all the trouble of getting the tank. It's a big, heavy tank, you know. Why bother? Just be a fish in your next lifetime, you see. You don't have to bother renting a scuba tank and worry about drowning or anything. You can just jump in and be happy in the water and stay there like a fish. So you get according to your consciousness. You get a suitable body. But if you become absorbed in meditation, you actually enter into the kingdom of God at the time of death, where there's no birth, no death, no old age and disease. It's a much better planet than the earth planet. The planet of the Supreme Being, you see. It's much better. Meditation and seva, helping others, and you find happiness. Which one is more important? Well, those who actually master the art of meditation, which means surrendering themselves to the Supreme, their natural symptom is they engage in the highest welfare work for all living entities, automatically, naturally. So you can't really separate them. They're all the same. How does chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra help university students? Well, the point is, if you connect with the higher nature, the higher nature, then you'll understand what's the purpose of my existence. You see? My actual purpose of existence is to serve the Supreme. And for serving Him, I require some income. So the university gives me some facility to make some better income. So I can utilize my university studies in the service of the Supreme. So I have better facility for serving the Supreme in my life, you see. So by chanting Hare Krishna or Allah Akbar or Praise Jesus, one can then understand, have a better feeling of purpose and meaning in one's university studies. And I know I was doing okay before I started chanting Hare Krishna, but once I started chanting Hare Krishna, then I made straight A's in every course I ever took after that, except for Sanskrit. It was tough. I made a B in Sanskrit. Sanskrit is a tough subject matter, let me tell you. I made straight A's. After I started chanting Hare Krishna, I made straight A's in every single course I took, except for Sanskrit, a B in Sanskrit. I had to be honest. I made a B in Sanskrit. Sorry, I made a B in Sanskrit. Do they have a Sanskrit department here? Huh? It is a tough, tough subject matter. Sanskrit language. Especially now, if you're Hindi speaking, you got a head start, because Hindi is directly coming from Sanskrit. If all you know is English, like me, and you go to study Sanskrit, I mean, wow, it's really heavy. Okay. Why should we believe in the authority of scriptures? You don't have to believe the authority of scriptures if you don't want to. It's a free country, right? But if you can find, just like I got a new camera the other day because I read that it would give me a better, I take photographs when I give my lectures, you know. And so I wanted a good camera. I found there was a new camera that gives better quality pictures. So why should I accept the authority of the user's manual? Why even bother reading the user's manual? Well, because the user's manual tells you how to get the best use of the camera, right? So the scriptures are actually God's user's manual. How you can, now you don't want to use a user's manual, you don't have to. You can just play around with the camera and without the user's manual. But if you study it carefully and you learn all the intricacies of the camera, whatever it may be, then you can get the full utilization of that thing. So the scriptures give you the opportunity to get the full utilization of your human life. Now, if you're not interested in getting the full utilization, you're happy with a less than full utilization, you don't need to worry about the scriptures. If you're totally happy and fulfilled in your life, you don't need to worry about any scriptures. But if you'd like to get a more complete, full meaning to your existence, then you can consult the authority of the scriptures. Now, how do you believe the authority? Well, just like how do I believe the authority of the owner's manual for my new camera? Well, when I read the manual and I follow what it said and it works, then I believe the authority of it, you see. This is not a fake user's manual. It's a genuine user's manual because I'm following the instructions. I'm getting a better utilization of this camera. You see. So in the same way, one should not blindly accept. Who knows? It would be a fake scripture, right? But if you actually follow the scripture and you get a better utilization of your human life, then you know the scripture is authoritative. Because it works. To put it in very short, simple language, truth works. And if it works, it's true. If it doesn't work, it's not true. Because truth works. In what mood should we pray instead of praying for material things? To get the billion, millions of dollars from the multimillionaire. You should pray for service. My dear Lord, please bless me that I can serve you with pure love. That's the perfection of meditation. My dear Lord Allah or Krishna or my dear Lord Jesus, my dear Lord Buddha, which according to your own faith, please bless me, I can be fully absorbed in your pure devotional service. You see, that is the proper move. Okay. So many scriptures are there, how to identify which one is the best and bona fide. Some people invent religions like Scientology. Please give your views. Well, there are certain ways you can actually judge, especially the Vedic scriptures give, which have been around the longest. They've been around since the beginning of the universe in oral tradition. of course, they recognize the authenticity of all the other scriptures as well. But the one can judge the authenticity. The Vedas give a very, very clear way of understanding how to identify what is authentic. It's actually, interesting enough, many people praise the system of government in the U.S. Modern-day politicians actually appreciate the system of government in the U.S. It has a threefold, three-way check and balance system. You have the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. And the other two derive, it's a check and balance system. No one thing has dictatorial power, but they check each other and they hold each other in check. So in the Vedic system, there's also a threefold check and balance system. It's called Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, which means spiritual master, the saintly teachers, and the scriptures. So one can judge the authenticity of a scripture according to the opinion of the spiritual master and to the opinion of the great saintly teachers of history. They will tell us which scriptures are actually genuine and which are not. And then how do you know who a genuine saintly teacher is? The scriptures will tell us, and the spiritual master will tell us. So how do we know who's a bona fide spiritual master? The saintly teachers will tell us, and the scriptures will tell us. So in this way, you take the scriptures, the saintly teachers of history, and the spiritual master, and the three of them, you see, use a three-way check and balance system. And through this, you can understand what scriptures are bona fide. They have to be confirmed, the saintly teachers, confirmed by the spiritual master. That's how you can tell the difference between a genuine religious system or something that somebody concocted because they wanted to become a famous spiritual master. Some material, you know, motive was there. Any other questions? So we'll do a little brief summary now. We've talked about how it's important to know why you exist. And if you don't know why you exist, then how you can even function in a meaningful way, even to get up out of bed every morning, to come to class or to go to your job. If you don't really know why you exist, it becomes difficult to carry on, you see. So that's an important thing, to know why you exist. And through the art of meditation, by connecting with the Supreme, who's the source of our existence, you can actually feel and experience that you are meant to serve the Supreme. That's why you exist. And by actually engaging every day in meditating on the Supreme, you actually can be guided from within by the Supreme exactly how you can serve Him in your daily activities. And this way you become completely fulfilled, completely happy, and you become a wonderful person to be with. And sure, I mean, such a person becomes saintly. They develop love and compassion for all living beings. So such a God-realized or spiritually realized person is what you can be through this process of transcendental meditation on the holy names of the Supreme. So I thank you all very much for attending today's lecture, and I wish you well on your spiritual journey to realize who you actually are beyond your material body. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.